Welcome to the HSP and Neurodivergent podcast. I'm Julie Bjelland, and today we're talking about the hidden world of autistic women. So many of you have been commenting on some of the discussions we've been having in previous episodes about autism, and especially what it's looking like in women. And it's different than what it's looking like in men. And many of us have gone undiagnosed, many of the most sensitive of us. So it's been a goal of mine to take what I'm learning about myself and the autistic women that I'm doing assessments for and share that information, because I think it's going to help practitioners. I think it's going to help women identify things that they haven't understood about themselves. It's been really life-changing. We've been talking about this in my autistic women's group, and I posted about some of the patterns that I'm seeing, and the women in my autistic women's group are really resonating with that. So I want to share this more widely and also invite anyone that would like to join my autistic women's group as well. I'll put links in the show notes about how to join. So let's talk about some of the hidden world. And the reason we call it hidden is because many of the things that we experience as autistic women are in fact things that are internal, that are not actually seen by other people. So I want to share some of those things. One of the things is this high intelligence and diverse interests. It's almost like having a supercomputer brain. We can really process enormous amounts of information quickly, and we have an interest in a broad range of topics. So we might move from one topic to the next because we're fascinated by that topic and just absorb and research and learn everything we can about that. We have a lot of intense focus, and we can have kind of, it's like rapid information processing. You can really dive deeply into subjects and learn more than most people about that subject quite quickly. There's also a difference between our physical energy versus our ambitions. So this is a reoccurring theme for autistic women, is that our physical energy levels often don't align with our ambitions or our mental energy. And this feeling can make you feel frustrated because there's a lot that we want to do, but our physical energy is slowing us down. The physical energy is not matching the mental energy. There is high productivity, but there's a risk of burnout. So we really can accomplish tasks very quickly and efficiently. And especially when we're capitalizing on these periods of high focus and high productivity, like when we have a lot of energy in these times. So we can get a lot done in a short amount of time, often surpassing typical expectations. However, that high productivity comes at a cost, because that intense focus and sustained mental effort can lead to burnout. And this cycle is common with autistic women, especially when we're not taking adequate breaks, we're not managing our energy levels, and really understanding the need to balance productivity with rest and recovery periods. So that's really crucial for maintaining health and well-being. I think that's why I had so much focus on creating my courses, like the HSP Toolbox, for example. That was something that taught what do we do every day to balance out that energy. And that became something that was important to me because I didn't want to have that cycle of burnout all the time. We have a need for flexible environments. So traditional structured environments, such as like typical office spaces, they're really challenging for us. We thrive more in spaces where we can control our surroundings and our schedule, allowing us to manage our energy and sensory inputs, and then work also during our peak energy times, whatever that might be. So we do have peak energy times where we'll accomplish a lot in a short period of time, but then we need to rest for quite a long time. Having that alone time becomes crucial to rest the system. If we think about a typical 8-hour workday, we might be able to accomplish most of what we need to get done in an hour or two, maybe even less. Whereas somebody that is not autistic might take them the full day. But then again, what ends up happening is we take on too much. And if you're working that full 8-hour day and accomplishing more than most people are, you're also burning more fuel that way, which causes the burnout. Also, we're seeing this really hidden challenge of feeling flawed and different. This is absolutely across the board, every single autistic person. This is how I have experienced the world too until I understood autism. We feel flawed, like there's something different about us, something wrong. From the very beginning of childhood, we've received messages that how we are in the world is somehow wrong and we need to change, especially females. Now, this is women have a different experience than males, and this is really showing up a lot in adult women. So there is this feeling of being like an outsider can be really isolating, and it's compounded by societal expectations that press us to conform to what other people are doing, and but that doesn't fit our natural way of being or meet our sensory needs. So a lot of times, out of shame or fear of being misunderstood, we've learned to hide our challenges. I certainly did that. I had a lot of shame about how I experienced the world, how exhausted I would get, how much alone time I needed, how sensitive I felt. I would hide those things because I didn't want people to think there was something wrong with me, because that was the message I received. Thankfully, I don't do that anymore, but it was a really difficult way of being in the world. We mask a lot of our challenges. Autistic women tend to often tell me that they pass in the world, meaning that you can't tell that they're autistic. But we have to really relook at this, because traditionally in the past, the way we were looking at autism was a lot based on external things that you could see. But for women, we've learned how to cover up those things so that other people couldn't see them. You know, I was the type of person that always had a smile on my face, but that wasn't necessarily mirroring what I felt on the inside when I was growing up and in teenage years, college years, things like that. People knew me as friendly, smiling, but that wasn't matching what I felt on the inside, because that's what I was taught to do. I was taught to smile, make other people comfortable, conform to their needs instead of meet my own needs. So obviously this kind of concealment of who we really are in the world, it diminishes our sense of self-worth. So for autistic women who haven't kind of worked through some of this stuff, really feel that. They walk around in the world thinking that something's wrong with them, and they hide those challenges. And that, it's sad. It really is sad that we've had to do that. And it's created a lot of problems in our lives and in our relationships. And we really need to foster a greater understanding and acceptance of this experience that we have in the world, and understand that these are differences. These are not flaws. And we really need to understand these are just differences. Also, there are, I want to talk a little bit about emotional expression, sensory overload, and misunderstandings. So emotional and sensory regulation, often it presents significant challenges for us. There are feelings of shame about meltdowns and anger bursts. This is a really common thing, something I used to feel, and every single autistic woman I've done assessments for has felt this enormous shame for meltdowns and anger bursts. And really what that is that overactivation of the fight, flight, freeze system. And I just wrote about that overactivation of the amygdala in an article. I'm going to link that in the show notes too, if you want to learn more about that. So what ends up happening is our sensory sensitivities also intensify all of our experiences and our responses and reactions. And this can lead to misunderstandings in our relationships, having this overactive fight, fight, freeze response. And it really helps to understand that our neurological makeup is just different and that we can start to have self-compassion for ourselves in these experiences rather than being hard on ourselves about it. It does lead to a lot of misunderstandings. A lot of autistic women have struggled in their relationships because of this. And it makes sense. If we're not understanding ourselves, other people are not going to understand us. I used to have a lot of shame too about that when I thought, how could I possibly be having these meltdowns? What's wrong with me? Was that constant question. What's wrong with me? And that is a very heavy weight to carry around in the world, thinking that there's something wrong with you. Imagine that. I mean, it seeps into absolutely every single part of your life. And it is definitely a big hidden challenge. Also, we have different communication and social preferences. And we really like clear, direct, and honest communication. That is preferred over small talk, ambiguous expressions. That can often be confusing for us when things are not clear. We really value one or two people that we feel connected to on a deeper level rather than large groups. And what's really been interesting to see is that many of us end up taking on leadership roles if we are sort of forced to be in particular types of groups, whether it be at work or in other situations. Because in a leadership role, I've said this for years, that I'd rather be leading a group than be inside of a group. We'd like to be able to structure things and know what's ahead of us. And by being a group leader, that's something that we can do. It's more structured for us. Also, our homes are a sanctuary. This is something I used to be so hard on myself about for a long time, was how much I disliked hosting social gatherings at my home. And it's interesting to work with autistic women because this is something that comes up a lot. We prefer not to. This is our home is our retreat, our special sanctuary where we can relax and just engage in our personal interests and be ourselves in the world, take the mask off and just get to be ourselves. And especially when we're hosting people at home or staying with other people, that's something that can be incredibly draining. I used to joke a lot on many episodes of the podcast that I have a 2-hour social limit. I would say that is definitely still true, possibly even less than that after menopause. We see a lot of our sensitivities increase after menopause and as we age. And like for me, if I socialize too much, even if I'm enjoying the experience, I feel nauseous. So we can have physical symptoms of and not having enough alone time, enough downtime. And that brings us into the crucial importance of our alone time. We need an extraordinary amount of it. And many of us have felt guilty about that. We think something's wrong with us for taking so much alone time. And when I say alone time, I mean alone time, that you don't even have anybody else in the room with you. Many people talk about too, not even having anybody in the house with you. That has been an ongoing thing since I was a child, that I needed a lot of alone time. And without it, I would get sick. And even to this day, the same thing will happen. I have to plan out my schedule. I have to think about if I've got something busy coming up, then I have to have a day of rest, at least a day of rest before and after. It's kind of annoying to need so much rest sometimes when you have a lot of ambitions, when you want to do a lot of things in the world. But what happens without it is burnout, and that's something we see a lot. So this need for alone time, what I hope comes out of talking about this is that you give it to yourself without guilt. Because if you're taking alone time, but you're feeling guilty for that alone time, then you're not actually restoring or resting. So it's really important to take away the guilt and to have this be a planned thing. Like this is a part of your day, just like brushing your teeth. You have to have that alone time. It's really crucial. And I think it's important for us to normalize and validate our experiences, to find self-compassion for our experiences, because we're really living in a world not set up for us, for sure. And just going out in the world, I mean, going out in the world can be exhausting, hearing all the loud sounds that there are. Even just having garden equipment when you're taking a walk, or there's a lot that happen, and there's a lot of expectations that come also from this, that if we're not being ourselves in the world, then we are. This is where we're seeing high rates of mental health issues, which makes sense. I mean, I struggled, it's really fascinating. I struggled with depression since I was about 17, having a serious health issue happen to me at that time. And then it became a cycle of, it was difficult to get out of it. There was always, I used to say, there was always like this kind of dark hole that followed me. And if I wasn't careful, I'd fall into it. And I'd say since receiving my diagnosis of autism and really diving into what it looks like in women, it has changed my life. It's transformed my life. That dark hole is no longer there. That hole that followed me my whole life is no longer there. And part of that is it's because I get to be myself in the world now. I don't feel like there's something wrong with me. Instead, I look at it as I'm just autistic. I mean, these are when you get to spend time with other autistic women. And my hope is by having these conversations on the podcast that I'm helping to release that shame and start to help women understand that how they are is exactly just right. There are some comments on the in my autistic women's group when we were talking about this. Someone said it's pretty incredible to learn there's so many more women out there who are almost mirrors to me, but we've all been pretty good at masking most things, which makes it a bit harder to find each other in the world. I'm very grateful for everyone here in the group and feel so much power in the open, honest sharing of our experiences. And that's something that's really beautiful. Somebody else said, this is extremely validating. I appreciate it very much and I resonate with everything listed. I used to think that this was all explained by being an introvert. Then I learned the HSP concept and that fit. And then now it seems best to describe as autistic. And this ever-evolving knowledge is a fascinating journey. And that's very true. Most of us have had this journey of thinking that HSP, being a highly sensitive person, described our experiences in the world. But yet, as I dove deeper into this piece, I realized that being autistic actually describes my experience in the world. And I suspect many of you listening right now, it describes yours. I do have an autism quiz that's free. I just put that there so that people can start to explore this more. I also have a lot of research that I am conducting on my website that you may also want to learn more about. What we're seeing, and it has been incredibly interesting. I'm going to share a little bit of that research right now with you. Okay, I want to go into some of what we're seeing. It's like a sneak peek into some of the research I've been doing. We're going to talk about common challenges named, things that women are sharing that they love about being autistic. Some health and neurological, different kinds of things that are showing up. I'm going to share some of that. So, some of the common challenges named are overstimulation and burnout, expectations of the pace of the world, fatigue, heightened sensitivity, being misunderstood, maintaining social connections, managing reactions, work-life balance, being overwhelmed from strong emotions, a low social battery, always masking and feeling like you have to perform your whole life, sensory overload and anxiety. These are common challenges, many challenges named. And I'm going to be putting all of this into, once I'm finished collecting all the research, put it all down for you. But I wanted to give you a sneak peek into the world of autistic women. Now, here are some things that are named that we like about being autistic because there actually are many gifts to it. We notice more about the world around us, the passion for our special interests, the connection, the deep connection that we feel in nature. Our brain is interested in so many different things. And oftentimes we talk about how we're never bored or looking for something to do because we have so many interests. And that's something that's really fun about being autistic. We love researching and deep diving into things that are interesting to us. We really enjoy our alone time, our ability to have introspection, our internal world, being able to see things that others don't. Many of us talk about how we like that our brain is wired differently. It makes us feel unique and that we can use those abilities that we have in really profound ways. Seeing patterns that others don't, feeling deeply. I mean, autistic women talk about feeling very deeply and high empathy. So this is an old stereotype that told us that autistic people were not empathetic is totally wrong when it comes to autistic women. To the ability to relate to other neurodivergent people, that's actually a lot of fun too. It's like you speak a different language than those that are not autistic, so it can be really fun to have that kind of connection with other autistic people. Feeling like you can, a lot of autistic people talk about this, a connection to, really deep, profound connection to nature, to creativity, being able to think quickly, process information quickly, problem solve. I mean, we can see out of the box and have information that most people don't, the way that our supercomputer brains work. Also, just a lot of people named the individuality and creativity and how that helps you perceive the world in a different way, the intensity and depth and researching things and high level of passion, conscientious, loyal, honest. I mean, we tend to be very honest and genuine people, and our natural nature is to be that way. And sometimes it's confusing to be around people that are not that way. A lot of people talk about that ability to connect things, that pattern ability that we have, the sensory awareness, and deep level thinkers. We are high level deep thinkers, and being able to really think very deeply about certain subjects. Like I always talk about, if I was to hire somebody, I'd want to hire an autistic person who is actually doing a career with their special interest because it's going to be profound. Like they're going to be really good at it. I want to go into a health and neurological survey that I put out. And this is just some tidbits of information that I'm pulling out of that. Again, we'll be sharing more deeply about this, but we're seeing over 90% talking about having anxiety, over 70% depression, over half have allergies, over 95% experience fatigue, and many of us, over 80%, talked about issues with planning and organization. So we call those executive functioning difficulties. Maybe difficult to organize tasks, manage your time, complete projects. Over 90% talked about auditory processing issues, like being able to differentiate different sounds, like if there's, communicating effectively in a noisy environment. I've always talked about that, like if the TV's on or there's a bunch of other noise happening, it's difficult to focus on that conversation. So that's showing up high in autistic women. Over 70% experience chronic pain. And it's also common to have digestive issues, headaches, even cardiovascular symptoms, whether it's blood pressure, heart palpitations, rapid heartbeat. We also see high rates of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. That's something to research more for sure with autistic women. Oftentimes, if you're somebody that's had a lot of health issues, you've seen a lot of different types of doctors and a lot of different types of specialties. This is something to look up, but also difficult to get diagnosed. And so these are some of the tidbits of information we're learning about autistic women, the phenotype of autistic women. And I think it's important for us to continue to dive into this. I recommend for those of us that experience trouble with our energy levels, like we get burnout, we're having trouble being able to accomplish everything we want to accomplish, you might want to check out my HSP and Neurodivergent Toolbox course. That's a self-paced course. and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And also, that comes with 8 weeks free in my Sensitive Empowerment community, and that gives you access to my Autistic Women's Group, which we'd love to have you. You can read surveys, you can see some of the research polls that I'm doing, and learn about assessments and how to work with me if you want to. You can go to autistichsp.com. That's autistichsp.com, but I'll put that in the show notes. And basically everything that I have talked about can be found on my website at sensitiveconnection.com. And you can check the menu and you'll see tons of resources that I have. And I love to hear from you. I would really love to hear from you on this episode. What did you relate to? You can go to hsppodcast.com to leave feedback. And I read every single message that comes in, and it's a great way to stay connected to you. So I hope you found this helpful, and would love to hear from you about your experience listening to this, what you related to, and even what you want to know more about. Say, sending out lots of love to you all. Take good care of yourselves. Bye-bye.